Ryan.
Yeah.
So I think we've got a quorum here. I think we've got everyone, in fact. Okay. Well, let me welcome everyone out to our city council meeting. I need to read this at the beginning of the meeting, I guess. I, as mayor of the city of North Salt Lake and chair of this public body, have determined that due to COVID-19 pandemic and the physical distancing needed to prevent the spread of infection, public meetings present a substantial risk to the health and safety of those who may be present. That risk can be substantially mitigated by holding city council meetings through electronic means that allow for public participation without an anchor location. A copy of this determination is available at www.nslcity.org. So anyway, welcome, and I'm sorry that we're still here via Zoom, but maybe one of these days with the vaccine rolling out, we'll be able to get back together again. We'll go ahead and move forward with the work session. The first item on the agenda on the work session is presentation of the 2020 audit report. I guess Nicole Nelson of Childs Richards is going to present to us, or we're going to have Janice introduce her. Probably just go straight to Nicole.
thank you for having me tonight. I've had the chance to work on the audit for, this is my second year on the North Salt Lake audit. And usually Ryan has done this presentation in the past and asked that I would present tonight for you. So what I wanted to do was just give a presentation of the actual audit reports, as well as some highlights, and answer any questions that you have along the way. Hopefully you all have either a physical or a digital copy of the report. I'm also going to share my screen here. For you to look at as well. It's a little harder because you can't quite see it on if it's on a full page, but to start, I'm going to go to page one of the physical copy, page five of the PDF. This is our independent auditor's report. This is what you hire us to do. There was a couple of things I just wanted to touch on. And like I said, feel free to unmute and ask any questions as I'm going along. The first section is that yellow highlighted section, management's responsibility for the financial statements. As auditors, we don't tell you what goes on your financial statements. That's something that from your accounting and all of your numbers throughout the year come together to create the financial statements. And your responsibility is to make sure that those are fair and in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. And that, as far as you're aware, that they're free from material misstatements, whether that's due to fraud or error. The auditor's responsibility is the second section. And what we do is we take all of those amounts, all of those balances, and we do tests. Some of them that we do very specific tests, for instance, your cash balances, we send confirmations to the banks in order to confirm that that cash balance is what you say it is at the end of the year. So it's third party verification. Others is sample testing. So we'll take a sample of transactions to determine that they're categorized correctly, especially with expenses, that payroll is accrued correctly, all things like that. And we can take samples to help determine if what you've presented is fair and in accordance with GAAP. So this final part, this green section right here, is our opinion. I'm just going to read that. In our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the respective financial position of the governmental activities, the business type activities, each major fund, and the aggregate remaining fund information of North Salt Lake City as of June 30th, 2020, and the respective changes in financial position and, where applicable, cash flows thereof for the year then ended in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America. What that basically says is that everything that we found was what you had presented, and that it's a clean audit opinion. It's the highest audit opinion. It's an unmodified opinion. in other words.
Just so, one comment on that. In the future, we should be referred to as the City of North Salt Lake.
Okay, I will make that correction. Thank you. Let me. Okay. Then we're going to go jump to page 14 in the physical packet, page 19 in the PDF. This is the statement of net position. If you're familiar with business financials at all, this is essentially all of the government side, all of the all of your business type activities, so your water fund, your golf course, the entire city kind of summarized on one page, as far as the what a business balance sheet would look like, with your assets here at the top, liabilities in the middle, and then your net position down here at the bottom. Just a couple of things I wanted to touch on. First is your total cash. You can see you've got cash here as well as restricted cash down here. This restriction is impact fees, things like that, that would restrict that cash. Your total cash this year is just under 19 million. Last year, your total cash was 18.9. So your total cash overall has increased about $100,000. With your total assets down here of 121 million, that has gone up $2.2 million over last year. Down here, your total liabilities at the end of 2019, at the end of your fiscal year 2019, from this year to the $12.9 million is a decrease of $3.8 million in liabilities. Some of that is pension, some of that is a pay down of debt in the various funds that you have. That's where the majority of it is. And then the last thing, this net investment in capital assets, it's essentially everything that the city owns minus the debt on it is $93 million. That's an increase of $10 million over the prior year. Okay, we're gonna skip and jump to page 16, 21 in the PDF. This sheet is essentially the balance sheet for just the governmental funds. You see they've got listed, these are the major funds, general capital projects, park development, road development. And then this is just a summation of all the non-major funds, which you can find at the back of the audit report, the last few pages. This cash and cash equivalent, or plus the restricted cash and cash equivalent for all of the governmental funds is 9.7 million out of your total 18.9 million. So more than half of the total cash is held in these governmental funds. And then down here, we have our liabilities for those funds. Most of the liabilities are in accrued liabilities here, which is a lot of payroll. And then your developer deposits that you hang on to for construction. After all the assets, you take out the liabilities, and that leaves you with your governmental fund balance. The ones that I've highlighted are just the bigger impact ones. Your impact fees, this is your balance of your impact fees and your governmental funds of $3 million. You still have quite a bit of impact fees that are dealt with for the water and sewer and things like that. But this is just the governmental funds, so parks, roads, things like that. Road tax projects. This is money that hadn't been used yet and is being held over for road projects, Class C road funds, things like that. And this is assigned funds by the council there for construction projects, things like that. And that's 4.7 million. What that leaves you, this is your general fund right here. And that leaves you this green number after we take out those restricted funds, that leaves you 2.7 million. State compliance requires that number be between 5 and 25% of your total revenues for the year. This year you were at 23%. Last year it was a little bit higher, and I believe that there was a recommendation that be brought down. It's so hard to gauge that. and Janice and I had that discussion as well, as you know, that's such a hard number to hit, but it is under that fund balance and is not a finding at all this year. Okay, the next one is kind of a jump. We're gonna jump to the kind of near the back of the report to page 55. The pages shortly after this one that we've just looked at is the income statement for the governmental funds. I like to go to this one just because this is further in the audit report, and it shows a comparison to your budgeted amounts. And so it gives a little bit more information on that. A couple of things, a lot of cities, you included, I'm sure, were concerned about sales tax and where that was going to hit with the pandemic. As you can see, your original budget was $4.6 million. You did adjust that to $5 million through amendments, and you ended up hitting about the 4.6, a little over your original budget amount. So you did come in under your final budget amount. But just for comparison, in fiscal year 2019, you are up $212,000 in sales tax over last year. So that 4.6 million, almost 4.7, last year was about 4.5. So still a significant jump in that one. And then your total revenues down here, last year you were at 11.8 million. So your total revenues were up $500,000 over last year for just the general fund. And then for expenditures, right here, most of these, as I looked at prior year, are really quite in line with just a slight increase across the board with all of those expenditures. There really wasn't anything that was significantly greater. Your total general expenses were up about $700,000, but like I said, it was incrementally about the same. There wasn't one department that went above over any other department. And as you can see, there's no amount over here that went over budget. That's another item in state compliance, is that the city is required to be within their budgeted amounts by department as well as by fund. So with that, we're gonna go a few more pages ahead to page 68. And on the PDF, it's page 74. There was one fund that's a non-major fund that did go over budget, and I just wanted to go over that really quick. This was for the bond refunding. So you refinanced a bond, and for governmental, if you were in a business, you would just, there was no income, there's no expense, you're just getting a loan. But for government accounting, you have to include the full proceeds of the bond as income and the full payment of the bond as an expense in the year that it occurred. This was an oversight and had just been missed. And so this is over budget and wasn't budgeted for. And at the end of the report, you'll see that is a finding. And that's something that I've had a conversation with Janice about, to mitigate that in the future, to make sure that that doesn't happen. It's one of those things that you don't do bond refundings all the time. And there's never any money that's moved anywhere. It's just all on paper. And so it's something that's missed by many entities. Okay, I want to go back into the main financials of the report. We're going to go to page 22. Unless there's any questions. Does anyone have any questions so far? Okay. So page 22, this is the revenues and expenses for the business type activities. The purpose of the proprietary funds, the business type activity funds, is that they are self-sufficient. It's a service that you can provide, and you charge fees to provide that. And you want those to be self-operating so that you're not using your taxpayer money and your government funding, government grants, things like that, that is getting used for these type of activities and these funds. So over here, I've got total enterprise fund. So this is all of the funds in total. And your revenues, your operating revenues were $7.8 million for 2020. That is up about $500,000 from the prior year. And that's across the board among all these funds. In operating expense, the $7.7 million, that's up about $600,000. So your expenses did go up more than your revenues did for the year. So if you turn the page to page 23. This also includes, this has your interest income here, And then this is your income or your loss before any transfers were made into those funds. So as you can see, the total enterprise fund right here, this is all of them together, had a net income of $89,000. Individually by fund, it's a little bit skewed. The water fund had a net income of $330,000. That was down about $100,000 from prior year. Irrigation and stormwater waste were all pretty similar from the prior year. And the golf fund last year, the loss in the golf fund was $477,000, where this year it was only $384,000. So overall, that gave a net $90,000 in income for the business funds. And then if you look at impact fees down here, impact fees, and then this is a subsidy for some construction, for some building. $1 million here, $337 here, for a total of $1.4 million. Last year, your impact fee total was $337. So you had quite a bit of construction, a lot of impact fees that came in through these funds. Okay, so now we're going to go to page 37. So this is into the notes of the financial statements. There was just a few things that I wanted to highlight. This is your change in capital assets for the government. These are for the government funds. There was $622,000 that was finished, that was construction in prior years that was moved into infrastructure, with $476,000 added between land and construction. $2.5 million in assets that were added that aren't land and construction, and $290,000 in assets that were removed from the books, with a total of almost $1.7 million in depreciation expense in the government-wide funds, or in the governmental funds, excuse me. So the next page, if you just turn the page to page 38, again, this is the same chart, but this is for the business type activities, the enterprise funds. There was $25,000 that was moved out of construction in progress, some to the water and some to stormwater. And with a $1.1 million in construction that was added to those funds, $865,000 in assets that were purchased and put into service, with $205,000 that was disposed of, that was sold off. And that those funds have a total depreciation expense of $1.4 million. Okay, moving on to page 40. This is the total tables for your long-term debt. The first table is the governmental activities. As you can see, this is the bond refunding adjustment right here. You had a reduction in the series 2010 sales tax bond of 2.49 with the addition of that refunding. Overall, the debt was reduced by $3.4 million with that increase of $3 million. So a net of about $500,000 from the prior, $400,000 from the prior year. In the business type activities, there was an there's this adjustment for compensated absences, and overall a difference of about $1 million that was reduced in the long-term debt for the business type activities. So we're going to go to the other audit reports. The first is on page 71. This first one is our report on internal control over financial reporting. And for this, what we do is essentially we test the internal controls. We determine what internal controls have been put in place, whether they're properly functioning, whether they are doing what they're supposed to do, which is to prevent, detect, and correct misstatements in the financial statements. And in all of our testing, we determined that there was nothing that rose to the level of a deficiency that was needed to report on. So again, this is a clean report. And I will make that change so that it is the City of North Salt Lake as well, and update that. And then the second report, a couple pages later on page 73, this one is a report on state compliance. And every year there's certain items that we have to test with state compliance. Some of them we test every year, some of them we test every couple of years or every 3 years. This gives the listing of things that we tested this year. And in all of those, it was found that everything that we tested was in compliance with the state requirements. And so that also is a clean report. That, unless anyone has any questions, that's all I had. Having worked with the city for a second year was nice because I was a little bit more familiar with it. Janice is an amazing, excellent asset that you have, and she does a really great job of keeping track of everything and keeping everything in line with where it needs to be. So, as well as the rest
Nicole, of the that I met with. I had a question for you, Nicole.
Sure.
In the general fund, our reserve balance was slightly over 25%. And there was a time when that you couldn't go over 25%. Did they change that? I'm having a memory that.
No, it's still 25%. Your unassigned fund balance is at 23% this year. So it's below.
Well, I saw something that was almost 26%. And
so originally it was 26%, but there was an adjustment made for some sales tax that was moved out. And so with that adjustment, the final number was 23%.
All right, got it.
Yep. Any other questions?
Well, Nicole, thank you so much. We appreciate your work on this. Janice, thank you for putting this together. If it's per page, this is an expensive book, but I know there's a lot of work that goes into it. So thank you so much for your hard work, both of you. The next item on the agenda is a department report, a discussion of the city manager recommendations for the fiscal year 2021 budget amendments. Ken, can I turn the time over to you for that?
I'll unmute myself. Yes, thank you, Mayor. This is an item that I anticipated we would revisit. I thought that the mid-year point was probably a good time to do that on this meeting here in January. You'll remember that when we adopted our budget last June, that is now we're not in the same audited year we just listened to, we're in this fiscal year, 2021. When we adopted this budget, we were concerned about the unknowns of what was going to happen to our revenues. We adopted a very conservative expenditure plan in our budget, reduced revenues based on recommendations from the state of Utah and the governor's office for sales tax and those sorts of things. Many of those reductions have not come to pass. And while I think I would continue to argue that we ought to be conservative in our expenditures, I am recommending that we add certain things back into our budget as expenditures that we originally took out. And those are items that we cut basically at the expense of the employees, which I would ask the council to reconsider in light of the fact that our revenues are strong and we're in an excellent financial condition. I think a much stronger position than we thought we would be in when we adopted the budget back in June of 2020. So I put some information together for you in your packet, and I probably won't share the screen, but I would just draw your attention to the general fund revenue and expenditure budget document that was at the back of my memorandum. I put a three-page memorandum together, and then we put together a summary of what the budget amendment will be that we are recommending. And you can get a sense, if you've had a chance to go through that, of what our original budget was when we adopted it, what our actuals have come in at, and what our proposed amendments may be, should the council authorize us to move forward with these additions. So let me walk through what I think we ought to reinstate in the budget. The first is a cost of living adjustment, which normally we visit that issue of cost of living in July of each year. That is the effective date of the COLA when we adopt the budget. We believe that the COLA ought to be 2%. I think that we could find, this is always kind of a an area where we have discussion as to what the percentage ought to be. I think that at the time that we were preparing the budget, it was a little bit higher, but I think 2% is really the number that we believe is representative of the cost of living. And I'm recommending that we make that retroactive back to July. The cost of that is $88,500 for, and this would be applicable to all employees except for the sworn officers in the police department. There's 22 of those who you may remember we elected to fund a market rate adjustment for those employees, a fairly sizable one when we adopted the budget. And so they've already received that change in for those 22 employees. The second item that I'm asking the council to consider reinstating is the step increases that are related to performance and merit for our employees. The total cost of that is $56,000 approximately. The reason it's approximate and it's not the same as the COLA is because the step increases happen throughout the year on an employee's anniversary date and on the date that they are evaluated. And so some employees receive their step increases early in the fiscal year and some at the end and some, of course, in the middle. So that changes the cost a little bit. We have another significant benefit that we froze when we adopted the budget that comes to just under $53,000. And that is an incentive benefit for our employees who either elect to provide health insurance in some other form, some other way than the city. So that is a spouse, typically it's a spouse that provides health insurance through their employer, saving the city a significant amount of money. We have a payment for that as an incentive. We also have a payment for employees who use less than the full benefit for health insurance. So a single person or a two-party employee would cost the city less than a full family on health insurance. And so there's a payment there. Those payments were frozen. Those payments go directly into a retirement account on behalf of our employees, and I'm asking that that be reinstated. So those are the employee related benefit kinds of things that we cut out of the budget. There's two additional things that I would recommend that we add back in that I think we need. One is, you may recall that we talked about a communications position early on, which I think is a much needed position. I also think that we can accomplish the goals of that position, which is better and further outreach to the public, by continuing to allow Linda to continue in her role at monitoring the website and the social media accounts, notifications, and things that people sign up for, including the newsletter. that those stay under Linda's purview. And then our proposal is to have one of our newer employees, and it's unfortunate that we have some employees you haven't met yet. We used to introduce employees to you, and now we have some that you, I don't think you know. Mackenzie Bennett is a planner in under Sherry's office, and she's a very talented young planner who is currently working 29 hours a week for us in an unbenefited part-time position. So I'm proposing that we upgrade her position to a full-time benefited position, and that we allow her to grow our program of public outreach using Qualtrics, which is essentially what we've decided that's the vehicle we've decided to use for that outreach. I think we'll find some value to that as we put together plans for, say, Hatch Park as an example, and we want to go out to the public. And we have other initiatives that that we want to get public input on. And so we are in fact getting more and more demand in our planning and community development department. I had an occasion to talk to the mayor earlier today and reminded him that one of our employees, we had a city planner who was a full-time employee who quit and went somewhere else. It's unbelievably, she thought she found a better job somewhere else. I don't understand that. But she went somewhere else and we didn't fill that position. This was at the time when we thought, let's not fill the position with a full-time position. So we are actually down a full-time position in Sherry's area. So the $60,000 is to make the transition for Mackenzie from a part-time 29-hour a week employee to a full-time employee. And if we need, we would then hire another part-time person if we need to. And I'm not suggesting tonight that we need to or that we have to, but I think I would recommend that we put that money into the budget and then allow Sherry and I to evaluate whether she needs some hourly work from a student planner or a clerk type planner that would be an entry level, lower cost position. So that's the proposal on that portion of the amendment. And then the final one, you may recall that we saved quite a bit of expense by putting a freeze on any expenditures in the fleet fund. And so we're proposing to transfer $200,000 into the fleet fund so that we can replace four police cars. And so these police cars go through a rotation, and we want to not lose ground on that if possible. And so that's the proposal. Those are the proposed expenses for what we're talking about. I put this on as a discussion item together with maybe a motion that, and the motion would be that you authorize me and to put an amendment together for your consideration in a regular meeting. So we would hold a public hearing and you would deliberate in public and do the amendment in the right way. But tonight is just the discussion item. I wanted to get the council's feelings on this. I think that I probably don't need to sell the city council on the quality of our employees. But I should mention it because from where I sit as the city manager, together with our department heads, I see an organization that's highly skilled. We have skilled employees. All of us on the executive team are concerned when we lose a talented employee, and we have had that happen from time to time. I'm not suggesting we're going to lose employees if we don't do this, but I would suggest that our employees have been very patient and generous with us. They've had, for the most part, I believe all our employees have a good understanding of the situation that we've found ourselves in. They have good attitudes, they're working hard. And I think their performance as a group is really exceptional. And I would suggest that the city has made leaps and bounds, has made great progress in so many areas because of in part, the quality of our staff. And so I would just recommend that if you're uncomfortable doing this now, that we plan to do it at some point, because these employees are well deserving of these pay changes, and they continue to be hardworking and loyal to the city. So anyway, thanks, that's Ken. Probably, yeah, thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, so I, just to bring up one point, and that is, we really have never had the discussion on these issues before, so I don't know that I would call these the correction of budget cuts. I think what happened is when we had the meeting last year, you came up with proposals, and these are your recommendations that we're looking at maybe perhaps doing retroactively. And so really, as far as discussion goes, this is really the first time that we've had this discussion. Just to clarify, these are your recommendations that you propose.
Yes.
And so with that, let me open it up to the council if there are any questions or comments.
Mayor, I go back to when we adopted the budget for the year. We were definitely looking at the unknown, and I think our approach was correct. It was reasonable to assume that we would have a loss of sales tax revenue, for example, and it simply didn't happen. And I think I'm comfortable in moving forward and restoring those things that we froze at that time.
I agree with Brian. I think that we were cautious, and that was good at that time. And I think at this point we deserve to move forward and restore. So we're not coming with excuses to cut the budget when they're really, there was good reason to do it then, and now there's good reason to go forward as if we didn't lose any revenue.
And I also jump in, Stan. We're not too many weeks away from looking at the 2021 budget. And if we find that this COVID situation gets a lot worse, we may want to reintroduce those freezes back into the 2021 budget. But right now, I think we were overly cautious and could undo that.
Thanks, Brian.
I had a question, Ken, or maybe Janice, in the proposal budget amendment that you included in the packet, Ken, it had a legislative increase of like 440,000. And I was trying to piece that together of all the numbers. Maybe you could highlight what it's going from 233,000 to 670,000.
Yeah.
And what was that kind of legislative change?
The majority of that is our sharing of CARES Act revenue with other governmental agencies.
Okay.
That's really the big change there.
Okay. One thing that I think symbolizes the city so well was the city's response to the high wind event that we had just a few months ago, and how the city just instantly worked like crazy to address the needs of our residents. And in fact, many of the employees weren't going home to address their own fallen down trees, but were staying and working. And I think if anybody deserves a COLA increase and a merit increase, it's Public Works. So I think that they did an amazing job and they symbolized it this year. And so I do love that. I think as a general financial person, it's sometimes hard to give raises in a down economy in a down year when so many people are losing jobs. And I think, that part of my brain thinks this is crazy. But the other part of my brain knows what a super amazing job Public Works did, and I think they deserve this benefit, especially for this year. And so I'm in favor of that recommendation.
Lisa or Natalie, do you have any comments?
I haven't any. I'm not sure we're out of the woods, to be honest. So we'll just see when we have this as a form of item.
Natalie?
I just agree with Brian and Stan. Okay. So it looks good.
I don't think we need to have a motion on this. I think I just have the authority to go ahead and tell you to put it on the agenda. So let's, you have my instruction to put it on the agenda.
For great. This time, Ken. So. Okay, will do. Thank you for your time on this one. I know it's a difficult question, but I appreciate the council considering these requests.
Okay, thanks, Ken. We still have a few minutes before we're supposed to start our general session. Let's go ahead and go to approval of the minutes. Have those been looked at? Are there any comments or question or comments, or is there a motion on the minutes?
I didn't have any comments, Mayor. I'll go ahead and approve if no one else has any corrections. I move that we adopt the minutes of the December 15th, 2020 meeting.
Motion by Brian Horrocks. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Seconded by Stan Porter. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 I wasn't there. Can I still vote to approve them? I'm not sure that they, I mean, I'm sure
I
they
think
write.
You can, but yeah.
Okay. Aye.
Okay. So that motion passed unanimously. Action items. Linda sent that out subsequently. I don't think I have those pulled up. Are there any comments on the action items?
We are trying to one page too, by the way.
Yeah, I just had the one question about the hearing that was yesterday. Let's see.
This is on the Hughes property?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to find, the Hughes property.
But yeah, Sherry can give you a response on that one.
Maybe need a little update on that since it was.
Do you want me to just go ahead and update you all?
Yeah.
Okay. So we had the hearing on December 16th, and the judge ordered the property's owner to immediately secure the property to keep it safe from trespassers and the vandals that are going in and there and the vagrants. And then he assessed a fine of $100 per day per property, up to the maximum. So that's a maximum of $1,000 per property. And there are five separate properties that have violations and of various sorts. Some of the properties have buildings, some of them have that are dilapidated, some of them have overgrown weeds and junk piled up. So they're separate violations. So we had been working with the main contact on this property on the Williamsburg development, Mr. Hartel, and he had not, apparently, according to his partners, not been communicating to his partners the seriousness of the against them and that we were very serious about getting them done. So yesterday we had a phone call, myself and Kurt Imig, with Mr. Loveday, who is one of the partners, and I expressed very vehemently to him the city council's concern and the city staff's concern about the safety of this property, about the appearance of this property, and that we were very frustrated. He wanted me just to waive the $5,000 fee. And at the end of the conversation, it's basically come down to they're picky. They picked up their demolition permit today. They have a contractor that will be on site on Monday and should be done by next Friday and have it torn down and all of the debris removed from the property. So, and then I told him if he had that done all next week, then I would return to the hearing officer and ask him to reduce or waive the fee, because the ultimate goal is just to get that property cleaned up. And so if this is the push it takes, then I think I'm willing to go there. So I'm very happy that they're working. They're going to come and do it. I've seen the contract, so they are going to be there on Monday, apparently.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry. Anything else on the action items? I don't know that we need to put this on the action items, but maybe we do. It's actually for the council. So we have budget meetings coming up. They're going through the budgeting process right now. We'll be having our budget retreat sometime. I'm guessing in March or April, we'll probably need to decide on a time. I don't know if there are things that you want to request that the staff get prepared and look at, but if you have something that you do want to discuss and want a little more detail on, then you should probably just get with Ken and or Janice and let them know exactly what you're wanting to find out. I think we're kind of at a crossroads this year. There's a lot going on between annexations and parks and water projects and other things. So anyway, I'd just like you to invite you to do that if you have anything. Anything else on the action items? Okay. We still have a few minutes. Let's go ahead and go to council reports. Let's start with Lisa.
Just Happy New Year, everybody. I don't have anything else to report.
Okay, thank you. Natalie?
The Youth Council still meeting twice a month. They met today for a service project for the food bank, and the mayor is doing a fabulous job. He is really involved and doing a great job reaching out to the other youth. So it's going well. We need to start thinking about replacements for the Tobins because they said this would be their last year. So if anyone has any ideas, there's a couple parents we're going to ask first.
Okay, thanks, Natalie. Brian?
Did you say me, Mayor?
Yes.
I just wanted to bring up an issue that I've observed at Tunnel Springs Park, but I don't think it's unique. I would assume it's not unique to Tunnel Springs, but we've had a lack of snow. And consequently, there's still a lot of people using the park facilities, but there's no garbage cans. And so garbage is being left around the restrooms and such. I guess I'm wondering if we need to look at our parks as more year round. I know we can't necessarily heat the restrooms, but maybe keep the garbage cans in place and have them dumped, or keep the parking lots open. And Dave, I guess I'd let you straighten me out or I just, when you see people leaving little sacks of garbage because there's nowhere to throw it away, at some point we'll have to clean it up. Maybe easier to just deal with it.
Yeah, I'll look into it tomorrow. Definitely probably can do whatever you guys want.
Well, I want to be reasonable about it, but the reality is that I think the parks are getting used.
Yeah. No, it's been busy up there still.
Yeah.
And that's a great observation, I think. And this fall and winter has been unusually dry. I wouldn't say it's necessarily warm, but it's certainly dry enough for people to get into the parks. Thanks.
Okay. That's all I had, Mayor.
Thanks, Brian. Ryan?
So the big item right now is that the Parks and Arts Committee is going to be working on the new design plans for Hatch Park. So we're kicking that off on the 25th with a lot of help from Dave Franson and his team and city staff. So that's kind of our big project before budget time. We're usually in a lull for the next few months, getting ready for all of our events that happen in the summer and the fall. And so this is a perfect time for us to kind of hit this really hard and to go through this redesign proposal. And so I know that coming up in our agenda, I mean, as you're talking about budgets and budget planning, Mayor, I think funding the Hatch Park redesign and the plan, I think is integral to really our town center development and what the city will look like for the next 100 years. And so we really want to get this right. And so anyhow, we're kicking that off and that'll be great. And so I'm excited that there's some reappointments to the committee, and that's where we're going to spend some of our time. I did have a question just on a general item that I don't know if I ever heard the final update on. And we had our discussion about possible eminent domain or issues with right of way for school children walking in the sidewalk on Redwood Road. Did that ever get resolved? And what's kind of the update on that? And maybe I just missed the email on that one.
No, I don't think we've given you an email recently on that one. It appears that that both of the property owners are now willing, based on our offers to purchase, are willing to sell. We don't have contracts yet, but we're working to get those contracts in place.
Excellent.
Can I ask a quick question about that? I had a constituent approach me about saving the trees along Redwood, those old oak trees that are right on the curb line. And they're just on the south side of 1100. But is there a way that while we're drawing up the plans, we can keep those trees? Because when that ends up being a park strip instead of a sidewalk in however many years, it will want those trees back.
Unfortunately, we cannot save those trees because one of the problems is those trees are down lower. And so it's not just the sidewalk we're putting in, but then we have to slope down and we'll be burying those trees. It's impossible. We've looked at it, but we can't save them.
Thank you for looking at it.
Yeah, and I believe we've also contacted, I think, probably the same gentleman you've been talking to and let him know that also.
Which is probably why he called you.
Do you have anything else, Ryan?
Yeah, the only other item, and I know there was an update on this on the 15th, but, you know, we looked at the, it was like the RDA audit or something, and we were talking about funds coming from the new Amazon development and what the proposal is there. And I know, Ken, that you were going to look at those as we're talking about budget preparation and where we are. I would love to spend one of these work sessions kind of going through those items, funds, proposals of how we'll use those and different ideas. There's a lot of extra funds in that development now, or at least in my mind, there's extra. And I'd love to know where we're allocating those and what our plans are. Because I think that Redwood Road redevelopment, there's some things that we could do with it. You know, Foxborough wetland, open space redevelopment too. And so anyhow, I just want to see what we can do with those funds and where that would go. And I would love a work session to kind of talk through those.
Yeah, thank you for that. That is on our list of a report back to the council. And so I've been working on the Highway 89 CDA in the last few days, I envision that we'll come to the council in a work session and we'll give you an overview of both the US 89 CDA and the Redwood Road CDA. And we'll talk about, we'll lay out the revenues and the obligations. Both of those CDAs have obligations to developers, and we'll give you an idea of what's left over and what the possible projects are within those areas for those funds. So thank you for bringing it up.
Those are all of my items, Mr. Mayor.
Just one thing, and I haven't committed, but I know that the the rec district is looking for, potentially looking for land to put a West Side facility at. I don't know how committed everybody is to keeping that, all of that wetlands open space there, or if they could get a facility to fit in there. But it might work. Parking would be a problem. But anyway, I think it's something that should be thought about at least. And so anyway.
It's neither what kind of facility are they thinking?
I'll go ahead and give my report before Stan. So on January 13th, I think is Wednesday, they will be having a Zoom hearing showing what the master plan for the rec district is. It would be courts, it would be a swimming pool, it would be, I think, a splash pad type of facility. I don't know about the splash pad, but at least what they're looking at is a swimming pool and courts, closed courts. So,
thank you so much.
I invite you guys to listen to that and give your feedback. I think that's the 13th. And Linda, they're supposed to be sending a link to me, and I'll forward that to you, and we need to do what we can to try and get as many people on that Zoom call as we can.
Okay, I'll spread it around.
Okay, thanks. Stan?
Yeah, I just had a couple of things. My Jordan Riverwood Commission meeting is not until Thursday, so I don't have anything from there yet. I have been looking a little bit. We talked about this last fall, and I think I'm going to pick up on it. That's the emergency preparedness or the United Neighbors. I still think the best option there is to combine, try to get South Davis Fire to at least be somewhat managing of that. That would mean we'd combine with the Bountiful Emergency Preparedness Group that pretty much covers the area that I live in now. And they're actually pretty active. They've done a pretty good job. There used to be kind of a feeling that we don't want to deal with Bountiful on the council, but I don't feel that from the other council members, that if we combine those efforts together, because if there ever emergency, it's going to affect both of us probably. And it would be good to have it under the right district. But that's something I guess I can talk a little more. I've talked to Ken about it in the past, and we've kind of looked at it somewhat. But I haven't really talked to Chief much and to see how he feels about it. But I just want to bring that up to the council and see if anybody had any heartaches about going that direction. So that's probably the only thing I really had to report on. Like I said, my other meeting is not till Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, the fire district is really going to be so involved with what's going on. To coordinate everything under the fire district makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That is my input. Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and move forward. We'll close the work session and invite everyone to our regular session this afternoon or this evening. I don't know if we have any newcomers or not, but we are now in our regular session. I'm Marilyn Arvey. The first item on our regular session agenda is citizen comments. Do we have any citizens that would like to address the council? There are so few people on, I invite you just to go ahead and unmute and let me know and I'll recognize you. It doesn't look like we have any citizen comments. So the next item on the agenda is appointment to the Parks, Trails, Arts and Recreation Advisory Board. And we have three appointments that are out there by three of the members of the council. These are all existing members. If any of you would like to go ahead and address this, I'd welcome you to. Ryan, in particular, you, if you'd like to mention anything on this. If not, we'll go ahead and just I'll ask for a motion.
I just wanted to thank everybody for their continued support of the committee. One thing, this committee kind of formed years and years ago from a trails committee that Stan was on, and I think Natalie was on as well. And then it kind of combined under Matt. And one thing that he really kind of focused on was he wanted to make sure that North Salt Lake wasn't just a bedroom community, but it was a place. It was a place that you wanted, that you knew by name and that had events and that was a place that you wanted to live, and not just a place that you slept in and then went somewhere else to live in and to be. And I've really kind of thought of that as kind of the mantra or the motto of this committee, is that we're helping establish North Salt Lake as a place through art and recreation and trails and events and things that really give us an identity. And I really feel like the people that have been appointed really have that vision. And it's fun because they come from very different walks of life and they have different ideas of how to accomplish that, but they all want to accomplish that goal. And so anyhow, thank you for continuing to appoint people and to support that. And I really hope that we can continue that mission to help develop North Salt Lake as a place that we want to live in. So thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. If there are no other comments, I'd ask for a motion to approve the appointments to the Parks, Trails, Arts, and Recreation Advisory Board.
Well, I'll so move.
Okay. I'll second. Motion
by Ryan, seconded by Brian Horrocks. All in favor say aye.
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 We can let breathe, Natalie.
I think I heard three. Natalie and Lisa.
You couldn't hear me. Sorry. Aye.
We can lip read. It looked fine.
Aye.
Okay. So that motion passed unanimously. The next item on the agenda is a resolution approving the annual meeting schedule. That's been sent out. The one comment I have, and I guess it doesn't matter to me. I guess you can probably let me know. But we're not meeting on the first Tuesday in November. In the past, that's because there's elections going on. And maybe, I guess do we have to have a place to have elections this year? Where everything's by mail now, I just don't know if that's a necessity or not to skip that meeting. I guess where it will be city elections, maybe it's best to not have a meeting on November 2nd. But anyway, I'll leave that up to you. Is there any comments or is there a motion?
I'll make a motion, Mayor, that we adopt resolution number 2021-01R, a notice of the annual meeting schedule for the City Council and Planning Commission of the City of North Salt Lake, Davis County, Utah, calendar year 2021.
Motion by Stan Porter.
Second.
Seconded by Ryan Mumford. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, that motion passed unanimously. I should ask, are there any opposed? I thought I heard everybody say aye. Okay, so the motion passed unanimously. The next item on the agenda is a motion to select a mayor pro tempore for the year 2021. Linda, can you just let us know who it's been in the past, and then I'll leave it open to you guys for discussion.
Lisa Baskin was appointed in January of 2020, and prior to that, Ryan Mumford was appointed in January of 2018, and Brian Horrocks served in 2016 and 2017.
Okay, thanks, Linda.
Well, I think it's probably Lisa's turn.
Well, Lisa has been it. Lisa was just last year.
Last year?
She was the year 2020. Isn't that what you said, Linda?
Correct. I think the mayor's just been so dedicated and hasn't missed anything. Lisa didn't do too much as tempore, so.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you're.
Linda, did Brian and Ryan both serve 2 years as the mayor pro tem?
They did.
Okay, so I would nominate Lisa for another year to be the mayor pro tem.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, so I'm glad you didn't say nay, Lisa. I was worried. We're throwing you under the water here, and I was worried. So I'm really glad.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa, for being willing to do that. Okay, we're moving through this fast. We've gone through the minutes, the action items, the council report, the mayor's report. David, do you have anything for us?
He said no.
Okay, Ken?
No, Mayor, I really don't have anything. I did send out just a few minutes before the meeting, maybe an hour before, two updates from Davis County for the last 2 weeks on COVID-related media that you're used to getting. And the only thing I would say is we're going to start to get some information in our briefings on vaccinations. And they're going to publish some data for us. And so I will forward those on to you when we get those. But we're meeting now every 2 weeks. And so thanks for your patience in me missing a week there.
Maybe that's just a question I might have. And the other might. I know that they started going after the emergency service personnel, police departments, fire departments. Have we had any of our people vaccinated yet?
I'll let Craig answer that, but we're in the middle of scheduling those right now.
Oh, our first opportunity is tomorrow and then Friday. And they're going to evaluate the county's emergency responders after Friday. I think the fire department mentioned this morning in our staff meeting that they have had some of their employees already go through the first dose. But it was a sign up that I think it was Ken, for maybe it was the mayor, one of you forwarded it to us, and we were able to get that out to the officers yesterday, and hopefully we're getting a good response from them. We do have one employee who has some serious medical reasons why he will probably not take the vaccine. But other than that, I think everyone in the department is anxious and to get this this behind them and hopefully alleviate some of the worries of not only getting it, but being spreaders of it also.
Thanks, Chief. One comment that they did mention, and that is that they have had times when all of their slots have been full. So I would probably have to make sure that we sign up when we have the chance.
Yeah, I don't think they're showing us who signed up for it, but when I went onto the site yesterday, you're right, there were still a number of unfilled slots.
Okay. Do we need a closed session tonight, Ken?
No, we don't, Mayor, thanks.
Mayor, can I ask a question, follow up on your rec facility?
Yeah.
In my company I work for, we've had to go out and purchase wetlands when we've built and mitigated on wetland property. We had to like replace it. Would the city have to do something like that, or the county?
I think they'd have to. My only thought is that I think they are guessing, and I don't know how much it'll be. I mean, it's pretty hard to find property where it's going to actually work. On the west side, we're just running out of space. I think $2.5 million is what they've kind of set aside, at least kind of what they're estimating right now. And my thought is that you could probably go ahead and mitigate the wetlands and buy replacement stuff for $2.5 million. Significantly less, I would think. But again, I may be wrong. It's such a strange shaped property that I'm not sure they can get it to work anyway. But anyway, I suggested it, telling them that the council would still need to approve it. But it is available property. It would have good access where it's coming right off Foxborough Drive and there by those schools. Maybe there could be some shared parking with them. or some other entities. It was just a thought that I had, and I'm not sure if the council would be interested in it or not. But I think it's something that should probably be looked at. But yeah, that would be required, Brian.
Mayor, did they give you an idea of how much property they're looking for?
They want 10 acres.
10 acres, okay.
Yeah, so there's probably some other parcels in that would work, maybe along Center Street there, where Utah Paper Box used to be. I'm not sure. I guess we've still never heard anything as far as TerraCycle moving. And I'm not quite sure how big their facility is.
How about the piece across? How about the quick piece next to I-15 there, across from the storage units, just on the other side of the freeway? They were going to build storage units there at one time, but that's a pretty good sized piece. It's not quite as far as west as probably we'd like it, but at least it's a piece of property that doesn't have a lot of commercial value.
I'll bring that up. Again, I'm not sure. I didn't think it was all that big, but it might work. I think they do want something further west and further north because it would be serving the whole rec district.
Sure. I think a location, like you say, farther west and further north probably work better, but I just thinking of property that might be available. I think that might be one that's 10 acres. I don't know how big that piece of the church owns down in Foxborough. That's not 10 acres, I don't think, is it?
I think it's just 3.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's a lot smaller on there.
So yeah, ideally it would be 10, and I think that is less. I think that property's 8 and it's shaped kind of strange.
About 1100 North and Redwood Road, that corner that's kind of an eyesore.
I don't think that's that big either. I mean, it would be nice to get rid of it.
There's a couple of pieces there, though. I mean, I think.
Yeah, but it's under the flight path. I'm not sure that you can build anything under that flight path. At least the big parts are.
Well, I don't know how close you could build to it, but I think you could get 10 acres that wouldn't be for the building. The parking lot might be under the flight path, but the building itself, I think you could certainly get on there, but I don't know. I'm just guessing. Okay. Just looking at Google Earth a little bit and thinking, that might be one way to clean up that corner.
And the east side of that, the east north side is under construction now. They're building a warehouse there, some flex space. But you're talking about the southeast side of that corner, right? That would be under the flight path.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I guess I was just thinking the building itself, you'd need 10 acres, but part of that's going to be parking lot. I'm just wondering if the parking lot certainly probably could be under the flight path. I don't know all the rules, but I would think that'd be a good thing to put under a flight path.
When I was on the planning commission, we had to approve a property along the flight path. And they really were concerned about how high the buildings were, like how tall they were. And so that close to the runway, I think a parking lot would be fabulous for that spot. And then just move the buildings closer to Redwood.
Great.
Yeah, that's...
I'll bring it up.
Yeah, I think there's some land out there. Again, how much you're going to have to pay for it, that might be the problem. But I think there's some pieces out there that might work still that could be utilized.
Mr. Mayor, I had 2 questions on a different topic.
Yeah.
So one is, do we have a path forward for selecting the city attorney? And do we know kind of what the plan is there, or are we just still going day by day?
Well, I haven't posted an ad yet, but we're gonna go out and seek applicants for that.
Thank you. And then my other update is, have we heard anything from the League of Cities and Towns on their April convention? I haven't seen anything yet, and it's not reserved on the Dixie Center's website yet for the time. And so I'm just trying to figure out, I know that they did the county convention and the city manager convention. I don't, because Ken, you were there and spoke. But have we heard any sort of update on what's happening with the League of Cities and Towns?
I don't think they decided yet, Linda. Have you heard?
I looked today because I was working on the city calendar, and they actually now have it as the 22nd and 23rd of April in St. George. Thursday, Friday. But that's the first I'd seen it. Oh, it's the 22nd and 23rd.
Okay. We have a city council. I mean, we just approved the city council meeting on that Tuesday, which I think we've traditionally done. I don't think that's a problem. But I was just thinking about that as we thought of the schedule. And, you know, this year is so unusual, but by April, hopefully it'll be less unusual and we'll be back meeting in that convention. So I just wanted to get an update on that.
Yeah, we'll find out if that's like a healthy dose of optimism or a real conference.
Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. All right. I think that's it. Is there a motion to adjourn? I don't think we have anything else to discuss.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you all. Look forward to seeing you in person again.
Have a good night.
Meeting. Stay healthy, everybody.
All right. You too. You get better.